If you have your Bibles, turn to John 1. We're going to start there this morning. Probably some of us have been to Carlsbad or maybe down close to San Antonio and gone into some of those caverns. If you've ever gone to one of those places, you know, once you go so far underground, you're so far from the outside world, when the light's turned off, it's dark. And I've been more than once, and it never fails. Somebody always screams when the light goes out. Every single time. And if they don't scream, if there are children there, they start crying. It's just, you know, it's clockwork. It happens every time. In 1962, speleologists, those are scientists who study caverns and caves, Frenchman Michael Siffre spent two months in an underground or in a subterranean cavern. No clock, no calendar, no sunlight. He would only sleep or eat when his body told him that it was time to sleep or eat. He had no idea what was going on, didn't know what time it was. The only time he communicated with the outside world was before he went to sleep. He would check his pulse, and when he would get up, he again would check his pulse, and each time he would call above ground and say, "I'm about to go to sleep, this is my pulse rate." He'd wake up, "I just woke up, this is my pulse rate." That was the only communication he had with the outside world. And the reason that he did that was because he wanted to see what the effect would be on that kind of living regarding the natural rhythms of the human body live beyond time. And this is what he found out. When you don't know what's going on outside, when there's very little light, when you have no clock or calendar or anything like that, he found out that his natural rhythms changed, where sometimes he would be up 36 hours. He didn't know how long he was up. He would, of course, telephone call. He'd be up 36 hours, and he might sleep 24, and a cycle began like that. He might be up 3 days, he might sleep 24, 36 hours, however long. And as time went by, after being there 2 months, he helped organize over a decade about a dozen other studies like that. Time isolation studies. And some could actually stay up for 48 hours. Now, what was odd about this, to them it felt like it was just a normal 12, 14, 16-hour day. They had no idea how long they were staying awake. They had no idea how long they were sleeping. 1972, he went back to a cavern somewhere in Texas and stayed there 6 months. And then to celebrate the millennium, he was about 65 or so at that time, he did the same thing again. Again, all to see how does this affect the body. But he was interviewed sometime back by a magazine, Cabinet Magazine, and they asked him this question. They said, "What is it about going underground that both attracts and scares us?" I don't know about you, I'm not real attracted by that kind of thing, but that's what they asked him. What is it about living underground where there's very little light and at times none at all? What is it about that kind of thing? Why do we go to Carlsbad? Why do we go down there? Why are we afraid when the light goes out? They asked him that question. He said, "Well, it's dark down there." And he said, "And if your light goes out, you die." That struck me. What is it that attracts us but yet scares us? If you're down somewhere like that and suddenly you have no light, and you're not going to get any more, as he said, you die. Look at John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." If you drop down to verse 3, "All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." And notice verse 4. It says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." The light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Drop down to verse 9. Jesus is spoken of as the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. When I heard that statement by Siffre, "If your light goes out, you die," I thought about how Jesus is the light of the world. And in the world steeped with darkness, if our light goes out, we die. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We've been talking about walking with God for the last few weeks. Enoch walked with God and was taken. We discussed Enoch's life and the faith he possessed and what it meant for him to walk with God, that close communion, fellowship, where as he and God walked together, God said, you know what, just come home with me. And he took him. Last week, we looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 in particular, where we learned that we are to be imitators of God as dear children and to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. Now drop down to verse 8. What does it mean to walk with God? Close communion, fellowship. Enoch enjoyed that. Noah enjoyed that. So many other great heroes of faith did. And we can as well. We must walk in love if indeed our conduct is to match what we have in Christ as members of the church. Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2. And verse 8 teaches us that we are to walk as children of light. What an interesting statement. For you were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's our discussion point this morning. What I want us to do initially, keep your tassel marked there at Ephesians 5 because we're going to come back to it. I want us to think about how light is used as a metaphor in Scripture. How light is used as a metaphor. Turn to 1 John 1 and notice verse 5. And as you're turning there, what you're going to see is God is referred to either as light or He is seen most often associated with light. What does that mean? Light is a metaphor for those things which are sinless, those things which are pure, those things which are righteous, those things which are good, those things which are perfect. All of those kinds of ideas are involved in the metaphor of light. And therefore, God is altogether pure and sinless and just and righteous and pure and perfect. And therefore, God is associated with light. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now we're going to come back to that in a moment, because oftentimes when you see light in the Bible, it's in opposition to, antagonism towards, this thing that's referred to as darkness, this metaphor of darkness. God is light. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 22. The psalmist says that He puts on light like a garment. Psalm 104 and verse 2. So thinking about light as a metaphor, the first thing we note is that God is light. And light represents all of those things which are good, sinless, perfect, pure, holy. Well, if God is light, it shouldn't surprise us that what we see in John chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, is seen elsewhere as it pertains to Christ, as it pertains to Jesus. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 19. I love myself. I think I'm grand. When I take a walk, I hold my hand. Never mind. Try not to put my hands in my pockets. Been told this would be a good position for me with a certain kind of jacket, but nonetheless. John 3, verse 19. I can handle this. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation that has come into the world. Or this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, if you look at verse 16, that explains to us who this light is that's come into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So notice in John 3:19, how is Jesus described? Light. Just like John 1. You find this theme throughout the book of John. John chapter 8, verse 12. What did Jesus say about Himself? That's it. I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Notice again, opposition, light, darkness. Now I want you to notice chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. I'm going to paraphrase this one. Chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. For a short time, Jesus says, you have the light. He says, walk in the light while you have the light. And then, at the end of verse 36, He says, while you have the light, believe in the light. And what's the purpose? Why? That you may be sons or children of light. What's our main verse? Walk as children of light. Well, we see what that involves, evidently some of it here in verses 35 and 36. We walk in and believe in the light, Jesus. And by walking in and believing in the light, Jesus, our elder brother, we begin to look more like our Father, and we are His children, children of light. Jesus is referenced as light. And there are other things. What about God's Word? What does the psalmist say? Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path or way. As we've been noticing, if you've been paying attention, you've probably picked up on the fact that light refers to those things which are good and holy and just and perfect and sinless and pure. So we're not surprised that God and Jesus and His Word all are described as light in some sense. But did you notice that holy living is also tied to light? The action itself of walking with God and doing the will of God is referred to as light. We just saw it. While you have the light, walk in the light. While you have Jesus with you, learn everything you can. Find out what His will is and then do it. Right? In the Old Testament, we find this connection between light and holy living. Without going into a number of passages, Isaiah 2:5 is one. Where the prophet said, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And there are other passages. We could talk about Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 18. Where the path of the just is like the shining sun, which shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Holy living and light go hand in hand. Turn to 1 John chapter 1 or turn back to it. And I want us to note something that's going to lead us into our main discussion here. You think, he's not in the main discussion yet? My word. What's wrong with this guy? First John chapter 1, verse 6. Well, let's look at verse 7 first, and that'll lead us into verse 6. We'll go backwards, as my dad would say. Holy living in light. John captures the idea for us, doesn't he? If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. How can we have fellowship with God? Certainly it's provided through the gospel, but then it's expected of us to live according to His will. And that ongoing fellowship is predicated upon our striving to walk in the light according to God's will. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say? Simply carrying out the will of God as indicated in Christ in our daily affairs. We walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another and with God, and the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from our sins. But notice, holy living, walking in the light. Now, the other side of that equation, verse 6, after saying God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, He said, if we walk in darkness and do not practice the truth, or if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So what's the opposite? Standing over and against walking in light is walking in darkness. Descriptive of participating in those things which are outside the will of God. Those things which are sinful. Those things which are imperfect. Those things which are impure. Those things which are unholy. Those things which the world and its system embraces. And when you think about darkness, it refers to various things. Flip over to Isaiah 5 for a moment. Just want to show you how darkness in Scripture symbolizes evil. Isaiah 5, verse 20. The prophet pronounces woe on many of his own day because of something they were doing. Notice what he says, verse 20, Isaiah 5. Woe to those, this is so typical of our own day, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put, notice this now, it's a parallel to the first statement, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See the idea? There's evil being spoken of as good. There's darkness, notice the parallel, being spoken of as light. So evil and darkness then parallel one another. To speak of darkness is to speak of the world and its system. It's to speak of a sin-dominated world. It's to speak of evil activity. That's darkness. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Our world is presently shrouded in darkness. And so many, the multitudes, practice wickedness or darkness. Turn back to Ephesians 5. We're going to wrap this baby up. Ephesians 5. Notice. He's writing to Christians, right? We at one time were dead in trespasses and sins, but had been made alive, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And so when we get down to Ephesians chapter 5, again, remember 4, 5, and 6, this is the practical section. If you're a member of the church, chapters 1 to 3, this is how you're to live, 4 through 6. We get down to verse 8 of chapter 5, and he says to all of these Ephesian Christians, you were once what? Darkness. You were engaged with the world, you were a part of its system, and you were antagonistic against God and His way. But now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And when you see that phrase, walk in as children of light, you know, there's, of course we don't have time, but there's so many things that we could mention. What does that involve? What is all that about, walking as children of light? Just briefly, look at the first two verses of Ephesians 5. It's about imitation. Children of light implies that God is light, and He is. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation of shadow turning. Walking in light involves imitating God, putting on His characteristics as we see them primarily in the person of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, verse 2. Walking in the light is about imitation, being conformed to the image of Christ, striving to walk in the steps of our Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. Just thought of that song just right there. led in paths of light. Notice verse 3 through verse 7. Walking in light involves opposition. In other words, we oppose certain things. And what are the things that he lists in verses 3 through 7? Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, and the like. You know what we find here is very similar to Galatians 5:19-21, the works of the flesh. We oppose those kinds of things now because we're in a new family, we've had a new start, a new beginning, and our Father is God, and therefore we are His children, He is light, we walk as children of light. There are things we oppose that the world puts their stamp of approval firmly upon. We say, no, that's not the will of our Father. Transformation. This walking as children of light is something that we are to increase in as time goes by. Notice he says, for you were once darkness, adverb of time, but now you're light in the Lord. If we're children of light, that means something happened that allows us to be such. But now, we've obeyed the truth. We're members of the church. We've embraced Christ. We've been put in God's book. We're on the roll. There's to be a difference in how we live. A transformation has taken place and should continue. Conversation. Difference in conversation. I'm using the word based on the old King James Version term. Let your conversation be worthy of the gospel of Christ, or be that which becometh the gospel. Conversation means conduct. Walking as children of light involves right acting, right living. Isn't it a shame to see people who profess Christianity and they're living like they always did? I realize we stumble and we fall and sometimes we revert back to attitudes and things we used to do and our weakness. I understand that. Thank God for His grace. But there are some who make that profession and there's no striving. There's no growing conversation. Notice verse 9. If we walk as children of light, there's going to be production. Production of what? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You see, if we've been transformed, we strive to walk in the light, God then is going to work in us, and those things like goodness, righteousness, and truth are going to become a part of it, of us, and it's going to be seen in us. The fruit of the Spirit involves more than those things. We could look at Galatians 5:22-23. If we wanted to, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the production that God works in the Christian who strives to cooperate with Him to walk as children of light. There's a production that begins to be seen and takes place in our lives. You know what happens when you walk as children of light and this production begins to be seen, this produce, the fruit of the Spirit? There's a manifesting, an exposing that begins to take place. Let me explain what I mean. What does he say in verse 11? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I know the King James Version says something a little bit different. Reprove them, but it's the same idea. Expose, reprove. Shine the light on them. Now here's what happens sometimes. We're going to close with this. Turn over to Hebrews 11. What's involved in walking as children of light? There's an imitation. We strive to walk in the steps of Jesus. There's opposition to the world and its system and those actions and that kind of conduct that is descriptive of the world. We oppose that. There's ongoing transformation. There's a change in our conduct or our conversation. There's a production that takes place. And then there is this manifestation of God, of Christ through us, that shines a light on those who do not embrace truth. And here's what happens. Notice verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Hebrews writer says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now notice this phrase. He says, by which he condemned the world. So what in the world are you talking about? When you walk as a child of light, you let your light so shine before men. And they see your good works. And the hope is they'll glorify your Father in heaven. But it's also possible that they will hate you for it because they see what you're doing, what's right and proper and good. It makes them uncomfortable because your conduct condemns them. You don't even have to open your mouth. You should open your mouth as opportunity arises. But the conduct of the one who walks as a child of light, as his light shines, it exposes the evil deeds of others. They see you not doing certain things and doing those good things. They realize they're doing the things they shouldn't and not doing the things they do. And in so, they stand condemned. That's why people don't like to be around godly, holy people oftentimes. Because there's something in the hardwiring that says, you know, I really ought to be like that, but I don't want to be like that, and I hate you for being like that. We have been delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love, Colossians 1:13. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. Are you walking as a child of light? It's an important question. Because if you're a member of the church, then that is your calling. That should be your walk. That should be your practice. To the best of your ability, by the grace of God. If you're not a member of the church, then you're in darkness. If you're not following Jesus, you're not following the light. And so we urge you this morning to come to Him in obedient faith, repenting of your sins. We'll allow you to stand before this assembly and make the good confession, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we'll immerse you into Him for the remission of your sins. And then that new start will be provided for you. Sins forgiven, washed away. You'll be added to His body for all these blessings we've been talking about are. So if we can assist you, won't you come right now as we stand and sing.